Good morning, Rishis Rabbi Kron. We are on Peches. We're going to start from the very bottom of Peches Amud Aleph by the two dots, just to review a little bit what we did last time. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol Zman Shetovas Ksubasa. He says whenever she collects her ksuba, then the heirs are allowed to make her make a shvua. So the question is, Rabbi Shimon, ahai, what case are we talking about? Because the Mishnah that it brought it up on, this is preceded by several cases. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, aha, this is the case. V'nifra'as shelo b'fanav, if she comes to collect and it's not in front of the husband. Lo tifara elo b'shvua, the only way that she can collect is if she makes a shvua. Lo shani lo mezoni, lo shani ksuvasan. It doesn't matter if she's claiming to get his assets to pay for her support or to get his assets to pay for her ksuba. Either way, she would have to make a shvua to collect them. V'asar b'shem l'meir, Rabbi Shimon's coming here to say, what he's saying, not quite. He's saying, "Kol zman shetavak ksubasa." If she's coming to collect on her ksuba, yorasheha mashbiyanasa, then the heirs can make her make a shvua. Eina going to Amud Beis. Eina tavas ksubasa. If she doesn't claim her ksuba, then ein yorasheha mashbiyan. Then they can't make her swear. So this is saying that just for her coming to collect for support, they wouldn't be able to make her swear. This machlokas between Shimon and Tanakama is the same machlokas of Hanan and the sons of the Kohanim, Kohanim Gedolim, the Kana, we learned in the Mishnah, that we'll see later on. If someone went overseas, the Ishto Tovask Psonos, and the wife comes to collect to try to get his assets to pay for her support. Hanan Omer Tishba Besof. Hanan says she swears at the end, meaning she swears when she tries to collect his ksuba. Votishaba Vitriel. But she doesn't swear at the beginning when she's claiming financial support. So when she's eventually, either when he dies or she gets divorced, that's what it means at the end. That's at the point where she's going to swear. That's to collect the ksuba. But to collect the support, which is before this happens, she does not have to swear. But the Bnei Kohanim Gadolim disagree, and they say Tishba B'Tvila Ubasof, that you have to swear both times, both to collect financial support as well as to collect the ksuba. And Rabbi Shimon Kachanan, he holds like the opinion of Hanan that you only swear for the ksuba. And Rabbanik of Bnei Kohanim Gadolim, and they hold like the Bnei Kohanim Gadolim that you swear both times. So Maskevle Rav Shesha, so Sheshes disagrees. Ha Yorshin Mashbiyana. So whenever she claims her ksuba, the heirs can collect. So it uses the language of the Yorshin make her swear. But why doesn't it say Bezdin Mashbiyana Sayyibaila? Maybe it should have said that the Bezdin should be the ones who make her swear. Because in this case, that the husband is still alive, husband is away somewhere, and therefore she should be going to the court to make her swear. Ella Amar Rav Sheshes, so maybe there's a different way of looking at this. Aha, what he's referring to is not the statement we said before, but the other statement of the Mishnah where it says, Halcha mikever balul vesavia, if she went from the grave of her husband directly to her father's house, O shechazra leves chamiya vo nasas apotropia, or she went to her father, back to her father-in-law's house, but she wasn't made an administrator over the property. In a yarshin mashbiyanasa, they're not allowed to make her make an oath. However, v'imnasas apotropia, but if they did make her an administrator, yarshin mashbiyanasa asilavo, they're allowed to make her swear about the things that happened after the husband's death, because that's the point when the property became theirs. V'imashbiyanasa al masha avra, but they don't make her swear about what happened before during the husband's lifetime. And again, this goes back to where the husband had decreed that she doesn't have to, he's not going to make, he made this takana and said she shouldn't have to swear. We're on somewhere in the middle of Amud Beis. V'asa Rabbi Shimon l'meimar. Rabbi Shimon comes to say, Kol zman shetovas ksuvasa, whenever she claims her ksuba, yorshin mashbiyanasa. Again, he says that's the point when they make her swear. Eina tovas ksuvasa, but if she doesn't claim her ksuba, so in that time, then the heirs aren't able to make her swear. And this is the same machlokas as another machlokas between Abba Shal and the Rabbanan, the Tanan. We learned in a Mishnah, this Mishnah comes from Gittin. apotropos eminu aviyu yosomim. So if you have an administrator that was appointed by the father to take care of the orphan children, yeshava, he has to this administrator has to swear when they get older, when they're no longer children, that he didn't keep any of their property. However, minuhu based bezdin, but if this administrator was appointed by the bezdin, lo yeshava, he does not have to swear. And Rashi explains that this was to give the court more flexibility in finding people to do this, because if people thought they'd have to swear all the time, they wouldn't want to take the job. Abashal Omer Chilaf Advarm. He says, no, it's the opposite. Minu Bezdin. If the Bezdin appointed this person to be the administrator, Yeshava, in that case, he does have to swear. And that, you know, if they have reason to make him swear, he does have to swear. However, Minu Avi Yisomim, but if the father of the orphans was the one who appointed him to be the administrator, lo yeshava, in that case, he would not swear. And again, it's similar reasoning, is that people might be more inclined to take the administratorship from the bezdin than from the individual father, so therefore they made it a little easier to get people to be willing to do this. And Rabbi Shimon ka Abashal, he holds like Abashal, and Rabbanan holds it like the Rabbanan. So where Abashal says that if when it comes to the Abashal says when it comes to if it's appointed by the Bezdin, and he does have to swear if he's appointed by the father himself, he does not have to swear. And so therefore Rabbi Shimon, who says you only have to swear when you go to collect on the ksuba, is similar to that, because he's basically saying you would not have to swear. So Muskevle Abaye doesn't like this. Hi calls Masha Tovas Ksuvasa. When the statement of the Mishnah was, whenever she comes to collect her ksuva, that is the point when she has to do a shvua. Im Tovas Ibaile. Maybe it should have said if she claims her ksuva, not necessarily as a direct statement. Whenever, maybe it should have said if. So what is this trying to say? Ela Amar Abaye, what the statement of Rabbi Shimon refers to in our Mishnah is this part of it. Kasavla, if the husband wrote for her a document that said, Neder Ushvua Ein Li Alayach, and again, this goes back to the Mishnah we had earlier, Neder Ushvua Ein Li Alayach, I'm not going to require you to make a Neder Ushvua, Eino Yochal Lashbia, then he can't make her swear, but his heirs are able to make her swear. However, if he says neder ashvua ainli, I can't make you swear. V'lo yarshay v'lo labayim b'rshusi alayach v'lo yarshay v'lo labayim b'rshuseich, I can't do it, my descendants can't do it, etc. So he kind of extends it to the next generations. Eino ein yachal lashbia lohu v'lo yarshay v'lo labayim b'rshusi. No one is allowed to make her swear. And lohi v'lo yarshay v'lo labayim b'rshusi. And no one on her side is able to enable anything that would require a shvua. Asa Rabbi Shimon Lameimar, and what Rabbi Shimon comes to clarify here is Kol Zman Shetovas Ksuvasa, whenever she claims her ksuba, Yarshin Mashbiyanasa, the Yarshim are still able to make her swear, despite all of this statement above about, you know, me, my heirs, and all that. This is the one exception that he's trying to point out. That regardless of all this, when she comes to collect her ksuba, that is when the heirs can still make her swear. The Kamlifugay Bufukta de Abashal ben Ima Mirim Verabanan. And they are the same machlokas as Abashal ben Ima Miriam and the Rabbanan that we had last off. Rabbi Shimon Kara Abashal. Rabbi Shimon holds like Abashal, who says that. So what the machlokas was that. That Abashal ben Miriam said that if you have this exemption for making shvuos, that it cannot override anything that would involve something that the Rabbanan did to protect the property of the orphans, and that's different from what the view of the Rabbanan. So Rabbi Shimon ka Abashal, Rabbi Shimon holds like Abashal ben Ima Miriam, who says that a woman whose husband told her she didn't have to make a shvua, is required to make the shvua to collect the ksuba because it's impacting the property of the orphans. Rabbanan k'rabbanan, the Rabbanan hold like themselves, who say that this explicit statement that She does not have to swear for her, him, his, her, his heirs, her heirs, or anything like that. Even works to collect property that is the property of the orphans towards her ksuba. The Gemara doesn't necessarily like this. Maskifla Rav Papa. Rav Papa doesn't like this. Haitinia calls Masha Tavas ksuba. It fits well with the first part of what Rabbi Shimon said, where he said, calls Masha Tavas ksuba. Whenever she collects her ksuba, they can make her a shvua. Eino Tavas ksuba ma'ikla memer. But what about the other part of his statement where he says, if she's not here to claim her ksuba, how does that work? What does that teach us, that second part of the statement? It meant to exclude this whole machlokas of Rabbi Elezer and etc. So this goes back to a couple of daf ago, where it basically said that if a husband made his wife an administrator and he didn't exempt her, then he could make this shvua of it being an administrator whenever he wanted. And Rabbi Elezer was more strict. And he said that even if he didn't make his wife the administrator, he could still make her swear about, it was things about like the spindle and the dough, anything about the management of the household. So this other Mishnah teaches that if the husband comes along and exempts the wife from making these shvuos, it applies not only to the shvua of the administrator, but even about collecting the ksuba. So his whole point was to basically, you know, refute all of that and say that she only has to make a shvua if she's ultimately coming to collect the ksuba, not any of these other things. So let's just begin the Mishnah, and then we'll conclude. Hotzia get ve'eni mo ksuba. So a woman comes along with a get, but the get with that get, she does not have her ksuba. So you might think, gova ksuvasa, maybe that means that her ksuba was already paid to her. No, the Mishnah says she can still collect her ksuba, even if the husband claims that he already paid her the ksuba. However, ksuva enimo get, but if she has her ksuba and she does not have her get, he omeris avad giti, she says, I lost my get, v'hu omer avad shovri, she says, I have a get, but I lost it, v'hu omer avad shovri, he says, I already paid the ksuba, but I lost my receipt. So they're kind of both sort of agreeing that, you know, somehow a divorce happened. She's just saying that she never was paid the ksuba, and he's saying, I already paid it. V'chein bal chov shehotzi shtar chov. Similarly, if you have a creditor who has a loan document that is from post-Shemitah, v'einimo pruzbol, he doesn't have a pruzbol, and a pruzbol is what enables loans to remain through Shemitah as opposed to being canceled by Shemitah. Hare elo lo yifari. Then the woman cannot collect. What is this saying? V'chein bal chov shehotzi shtar chov. So the creditor produced a loan after the Shemitah. In both cases, the woman cannot collect, right? Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, min hasakana ve'elech, because of issues where they, you know, they were under stress because of the government, isha gova ksuvasa shelo beget, uval chov gova shelo beprosbol, because they were afraid to keep these documents, because these were religious documents. So even if people didn't have these documents, they would still allow the collection to occur regardless. Because of this. So we'll pause here, and next week, Mirta Hashem will pick up with Pei Tes. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.